Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. What is happening here, I believe, is unprecedented in our time. I do not know of another conference that is on a major campus in North America like this one is, that has pursued into a place of authority and liberty in the Holy Ghost like Deeper Conference has pursued. And when we first started Deeper Conference several years ago, and the spirit of intimidation that was upon us and the fear that we dealt with, and that's something that is so small behind us now, and there is a great authority for gifts of the Spirit and for outpouring of the Holy Ghost and for miracles and signs. And it's a testament to the sacrifice and the dedication of Deeper Team and the leadership of Deeper Team, and I give tremendous honor to you. It's been my privilege to be a part of this, and glad to be with you today. I'm not going to preach. I do want to just inspire some faith and let the gift of the Holy Ghost begin to move in this place today. So let's just go in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. While you're standing, I am going to read from 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. 2 Kings 7, 3. What a privilege it has been of mine to be here. Brother Matthew Johnson did a tremendous job. What a privilege to be with him. And wonderful, wonderful leaders that have had made this conference what it is. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Where if they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. We have to spread these good tidings." Anybody familiar with this story from 2 Kings? Familiar story. I think I heard that in kindergarten, Sunday school, kindergarten classes when I was 4 and 5 years old, and I've heard it preached so many times in my life, and love this story, how that God does so much seemingly with so little, that if we will just be willing to step out. But I have considered this simple question: what if they weren't quite as hungry as we see they were? So I want to talk to you and just tell you some stories of what God is doing and inspire some faith. Let the Holy Ghost have its way and talk about it's amazing what hunger will do. It's amazing what hunger will do. Why don't you turn to someone and tell them, "I'm getting hungry. Pizza's right down the road and I'm getting hungry. We've been talking about it and I'm getting hungry." It's amazing what hunger will do. God bless you. You may be seated. So in my imagination, now just have to go with me just a little bit here. In my imagination, I'm thinking, what would have made these lepers that were sitting outside of the city that has been encamped by an enemy host, and famine has gotten so bad that they are eating their babies? But these lepers are outside the city and they are dying from hunger. What would have made them be content? What morsel of food? What could they have received and somehow just been happy with? How about if they had been sitting there and talking about how hungry they were and they can't go into the city because there's a famine in there and they can't go to the Syrians because there's the enemy and they'll kill them? What if they were sitting there thinking, and as they were talking about maybe getting up and facing the enemy, somebody had thrown a box of pizza over the wall. And there was only 4 crusty pieces of pepperoni pizza that had been left over from who knows how long. And as they got up to go on their journey, what if, just by imagination, they found a box with 4 stale pieces of pepperoni pizza? Would that have been enough for them to sit back and say, oh, okay, let's just share this and each of us can have one piece and then we'll just sit here and die? Because we've got something now, stale pizza. Or what if they had gotten up on their journey to head toward the Syrian army and face the enemy? And there in a little corner of the wall of the city, there were some vines that had been growing, maybe muscadine or grapevine. And one of them spotted, as he was shuffling from his leprosy disease, a grape that somebody had overlooked. One dime-sized grape. And discovering the grape had stopped his other 3 leprous peers and said, we got a grape. Let's cut it into 4 pieces, this dime-sized grape, and sit down here and you'll eat a 4th. And I know it's crazy stuff, but this is just the way I think. You eat a 4th of the grape, I eat a 4th. Let's just, would that have been, would a 4th of a grape been enough for them to say, well, you know, that was pretty good. I was starving, but man, I had a 4th of a bite of a grape, and now I just will sit here and die. What would have been enough for them to decide to stay right where they were? I often find myself in preaching thousands of revivals and conferences and crusades that it's the day after when there has been a breakthrough. There is a day after when there has been a supernatural move of God that people come to this choice on the following service, the following day, and they have to decide, how hungry are we today? Are we satisfied with what we had last night? Are we content with some of the miracles that we have seen? Are we satisfied to just leave the conference this afternoon and say, wow, that was a tremendous conference because of the tremendous preaching we heard Thursday and Friday and the great move of God that happened yesterday? So are we just content with what we had? Or is there still just some people in the place that are hungry for just anything that God will allow us and lead us to in this place today? Because if you are hungry, He can take what little efforts we seemingly have, what little talents and giftings we have, and He can multiply our efforts of hunger and make a difference on this campus. And the enemy can turn tail and run. And what has started even today can be a major event on this campus. He amplifies, God does. He takes our efforts of hunger and makes it something so powerfully amazing. I was in revival services just last Sunday morning with a powerful man in Atlanta, Georgia. He's African American. He stands about 6'3". His hands are as large as this music stand. He's just a huge, tall, slim guy. But he was on a scholarship to Troy playing wide receiver for the football team years ago. And somebody at the Troy K campus began to testify to Alonzo that there was a gift of the Holy Ghost that he could have, and God wanted to give him a blessing in his life and change him. So he went to that little service. Understand, it was a small church, some 15 miles away from campus, and the preacher there did not have a great education. It was a redneck, if I can say it that way, country white American that was preaching to this scholarship athlete Alonzo that was attending Troy University. And there, as he heard the gospel, received a Bible study, Alonzo made his way down to the front and gave his life to God. God miraculously filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and Alonzo began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. But he went back to his football practice squad and told his best friend quarterback that was there. And Al was the quarterback, and Al heard the testimony of Alonzo, and Al came to church and got the Holy Ghost. And Al and Alonzo began to tell the linebacker on the defense of the Troy University football team that there was something that God was doing in Alonzo and Al's life, and he also came to church and received the Holy Ghost. And before it was over, there were 35 members of the football team at Troy that had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking other tongues. They had influence and began to turn that football team and even those connected to it upside down. The coach is upset because instead of going to practice, they're wanting to go to Bible study. Instead of being at practice, they're wanting to go to church service, and their lifestyle is changing. And instead of cursing and bringing anger and trying to motivate them through some kind of anger or hatred, they have tears in their eyes as they're reaching out to their fellow players, and they're saying, God wants to do something powerful in your life. The coach pulled Alonzo aside and said, I'm taking your scholarship away from you. You will no longer have this free ride to school here, and I will not let you play on the team. Alonzo quit the team along with 20-something others, immediately walked away from the team that day. And the University of Troy was turned upside down. But now, many years later, Alonzo Terry is the pastor of Solid Rock United Pentecostal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That is, every Sunday, some 400 to 500 gather there and hear the gospel. And God has called Alonzo Terry to be an apostle to African Americans in the southeast region of the United States. I'm telling you, it just starts with one testimony, and an individual uses their influence and turns it into our university, a football team, and changes a life. Alonzo Terry told me his story afresh just last Sunday as we sat in fellowship after a powerful service. And he said, you know, all I can tell you is this, is that I was more hungry for God than I was for football. I was more hungry for God than I was for a scholarship. I was more hungry for God. It's amazing what hunger will do. It's amazing what hunger will do. I have had privilege many times to be in fellowship, and just one story that has happened many times, and I was with a pastor after a powerful church service, and we were in the city of Windhoek, Namibia, and their pastor had taken me out to eat after service, and we're fellowshipping, and I'm spent and given myself in ministry, and the waitress comes up to the table, and I cannot get away from what I feel in the Holy Ghost to look at her and to allow God to speak to me things concerning her life. And as she is asking us what we'd like to drink and what we'd like an appetizer, perhaps you'd like to try this particular entree that's a special special. The Holy Ghost began to let me see some things in her life. And I hesitated because she's at work. She's not at church. She's at work. And I want to make sure that it's the Holy Ghost leading me in sensitivity, not only to the Spirit of God, but also to people. Very important that we're sensitive to people. And she came back the second time and brought whatever appetizers and drinks. And again, there was a strong urge of the Spirit. You've got to speak to her. And finally, when she brought our meal, I looked at her and said, "Ma'am, can I speak to you?" And was trying to be very, give her every opportunity to say no, and began to let her know that I was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And did she believe in God? And she confessed that she believed in God and began to say, "I'm not where I should be." I said, no, that's not why I'm speaking to you. Because God has told me some things in your life, that your marriage has been broken, and now you're trying to raise two daughters, and you're very concerned about their lifestyle, and you're not there as much as you'd like to be, having to work two jobs, and you're not giving them the authority and the love because you just don't have the time. Tears are running down her face, and she said, "Why would God tell me this, and why would God reveal this to you?" I began to let her know that this was a pastor in this city, and that God had sent him to help change the lives of people in this city. And she said, "What must I do?" I said, "If you'll repent of your sins, God will forgive you. If you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus, he'll wash away your sins. And even right now, he will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost." She dropped to her knees in that restaurant, put her little serving table on the floor, and she said, "I want that gift right now." We laid hands on her. People around are watching. And as we laid hands on her, with tears flowing down her eyes, she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It's amazing what hunger will do. When you become hungry, more hungry than the peer pressure, more hungry than what others will think, more hungry than what strangers will say, more hungry than you're worried about what eyes looking around you will do. It is amazing what hunger will do. She went to her children and began to tell her works that she could not work on Sunday, and became a part of the church there. And because of her testimony, a tremendous revival began to happen in that particular city, and even turned that city and that nation upside down and helped make a breakthrough for the nation of Namibia in Africa. It's amazing. What, is anybody getting hungry yet? It's amazing what hunger can do. Amazing. I was years ago, I think I have told this story to some of the saints at Center Point. Years ago, I was in Atlanta and went to preach at a homeless missions. And this was just simply a building that had become vacant, but the city was allowing it to be used to house a soup kitchen where people living in the kudzu and the streets of Atlanta could come in and get a little food. And there was also a place where donations had been given for clothing, and you could go through that pile of clothes there in the corner if you were homeless and needed some more clothing, perhaps a coat or a sleeping bag and different things you could find there. And it was also a place that got very crowded when it got cold down south. It actually gets really, really cold, down to like 40 degrees at night. I'm just teasing. It does get colder than that at times. And those that were living on the street could actually come in and to where there was warmth in that building and sleep the night and try to survive. And my friend and I went to this little homeless missions and crawled through the kudzu and began to tell them that we're going to have a church service, and if you're hungry for God, just join us in the building beside us. We walked into the back room of that building and began to shout out for all that was there eating and talking and doing different things. Hey, if you're hungry for God, just join us in this back room. And we began to have a little church service in the back room. And when I say church service, I'm being too kind. It was just someone that had brought a keyboard. He was not the A1 player for their church. Not the B2 or the C3. He's somewhere around Z26. And he just brought his keyboard and was playing. Every once in a while, he hit the right note and he was playing songs. And three of us guys, the piano player, my friend and I that were preachers, were trying to sing and harmonize. And we were singing. It wasn't the best thing you ever heard. And I preached a simple message of repentance, baptism, and in filling of the Holy Ghost. And when I preached the simple message, not the beautiful place, small room, it even had a smell to that room that was difficult to get over. And homeless people that gathered there, some 15 or so. And after I preached, I just simply said, okay, is anybody here hungry for God? One lady was there. I guess she was somewhere around 50 years of age. She lifted a little gnarled fist like that, and it was shaking. She had pine straw in her hair where she'd slept in the woods the night before. Her dress was tattered, had holes in it, no shoes on her feet, and her feet were just a gnarled mess. And she began to let tears run down her face, and it made clean streaks through the smut of the life that she had lived in the woods and the traffic of being homeless on the streets of Atlanta. And tears dripping down her chin, she began to say, I'm hungry for God. We went over to where she was, intent on praying with her and leading her to this gift of the Holy Ghost. And honestly, when we got close, it had been some time since she's been able to take care of necessary sanitary situations. And it was difficult to even stand close by because of the smell. But trying not to breathe too hard, we just began to pray with her. She didn't have much to offer, and her life didn't seem to matter much to society. But she's hungry, and I watched as somebody hungry with a homeless and nothing to offer, God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. The most precious gift on earth in that earthen vessel which has nothing to give. Ooh, it's amazing what hunger will do. The stress upon her face turned to joy. The hurt on her face, the visage, the expression she had turned to peace. There was a young boy standing close by, maybe 10 or 11 years of age. And when he saw that look, the change on her face, he recognized it was something that he wanted in his life. Just a 10 or 11 year old lad. And he lifted up his hands and said, I'm hungry too. We prayed with him just a little while. And he was speaking other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Beside him was what I believe was his guardian. And I don't know what kind of relationship it was, or even if he was related, but he also lifted up his hands and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And on the other side of that homeless man, it wasn't the best singing, it wasn't the best preaching, but there were people there that were hungry, and God amplified what was happening in that service, and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost happened. Some 6 or 7 received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was half the congregation. They began to tell us their stories, and they were powerful stories, pitiful stories, terrible stories, amazing stories. And one guy told me that he had walked away from his family some 30 years before, 25 years before, and did not know if they were still alive. And he had been looking for something, not realizing what it was. And the day before, he had prayed the prayer after all these years of homeless living and trying to just survive. He said, tomorrow night, God, I will end my life unless I find what I am hungry for in you. He said, this testimony, you walk through the door and you said, if you're hungry for God, and he said, it's what I needed to hear. He said, somehow I've got to call my wife. I've got to go back to Minnesota. I've got to find out if my kids are alive. I now have life in what I have been hungry for. My friend's name was David, and David and I went around the corner, and we stopped at a Waffle House. It was getting a little late at night, and we were still pumped from being in the powerful service where the Holy Ghost was, and we decided to get some coffee and talk a little bit about the good things God was doing. Anybody ever been to Waffle House? Do you have Waffle Houses up here? I haven't seen any on Main Street's here since a Waffle House. Some of you know what it is. That if you're from down south, it's like every exit. There's a Waffle House. Matter of fact, sometimes there's a Waffle House on the north side and one on the south side of the exit. There's just a Waffle House everywhere. And it's a greasy spoon. where you just walk in the door and right there, booth sitting in front of a little table area, and the cook is right there. And there might be just two or three booths and a few chairs and always the jukebox right there. It's a greasy spoon, open 24 hours, and you can get hash browns and grits. Come on, grits, anytime, and you just go to Waffle House. And we were at Waffle House for the coffee, and we were able to actually get the coffee down because we put a lot of creamer and sugar in it. And we're talking about what God had just done. And as we are talking in this Waffle House, we're getting a little excited and we're getting a little loud. And someone taps me on the shoulder from the booth behind us. And I turned to see who it was, and she introduces herself as Juanita. And she said, "Sir, are you guys preachers?" We couldn't hide it by now. We had already been talking about what God had just done. So we said, "Yes, ma'am, we are." And she said, "I was just telling my friend here, Barbara, I was just telling Barbara that she needed to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking other tongues." When we turn to meet Barbara, Barbara stands to her feet. She's in the booth there, and she's standing half in the booth, half out, and she has a whiplash collar on. And she looks at, now we just came from where they didn't have two pennies to rub together, and they didn't have anything. The food in their belly was given them. The clothes on their back was what they had found in that court. They had nothing. But these ladies are the opposite side of society. Their hair is done in the latest fashion. They have the expensive clothing, quality clothing on. They drive customized vans. They have their own houses. They are very wealthy in society. But Barbara stands up with this whiplash collar on. Tears began to run down her face as she said, "You don't know how hungry I am for an experience with God. I've been in a terrible car accident, and it's caused a herniated disc, and because of that, I've got nausea in my stomach constantly. My neck has been damaged until I can only move my head a little bit either way. I deal with a migraine headache all the time." And she said, "I have been to church services, and I have been to different places, and I am so hungry for a move of God." She is operating in her faith, and I just got out of a powerful church service, and I jump up almost before I could think of what I was doing. Anybody ever done that? We need to do that a little more often. I jumped up almost before I could reason about what I was doing, and I said, "Lady, if you'll let us pray for you right now, God is going to heal you." And she said, "Right now?" I said, "Right now." My friend had a John the Baptist spirit, if you know what I mean, and he jumped up and he said, crazy guy. She steps out of the booth where she's at, and right there between us in that little hall area, we're trying to get out of the hallway, and we're standing right by the jukebox, and Willie Nelson is singing about getting on the road again. And we go right over to where Barbara is, and tears running down her face. She lifts her hand. We are in Waffle House, you know. So she lifts her hands like this, and we lay hands on her head and take authority over the damage that is caused to her body through this accident. And we began to speak that the migraine headache, by the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, would leave even now. We began to declare that that herniated disc would be back in place. We began to speak that the power of God would come right now, that nausea would be gone, that there would be a mobility in that neck, and that all the damage would be gone. And as we're speaking, we are loud and we are bold in the Holy Ghost. And Barbara begins to shake under the power of God, just tremble under the power of God. Her eyes open very wide, and she said, "Something has happened. Just a moment, I need to check." And she runs down that little bat wing door and down to where the restroom is, and she's checking out her miracle. In the meantime, Juanita is over there kind of like this right here. But we just moved from where Barbara has gone to check out her miracle, and we start praying for Juanita. By the authority of the word of God, receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And instantly Juanita began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. And we're having a Holy Ghost outpouring in the middle of Waffle House. About that time, Barbara comes running back. She has her whiplash collar in her hand, and she said, "Look, I can move my head any way I want. My nausea and headache are gone. I just checked. My disc is back in place. God has totally healed me." Oh,
All of a sudden, all of a sudden, there is no other sound in Waffle House. All you can hear is some crazy lady speaking in tongues like she's no more tomorrow. And two crazy preachers that can't quite control what's happening in them. No more clinking of the dishes. The cook has turned away from his grill. And hash browns and chicken are burning. You can smell things burning on the grill. He walks out through the office area into that hall and down to where we are. Willie Nelson still screaming about something. He takes his hat off his head. This cook does. His hair is in a ponytail now cascading down below his belt. He has eyes that are very bloodshot and bug-eyed, but it is his lifestyle to work so he can do drugs. He has a beat-up Harley Davidson that he has laid down more times than he can remember in drunken driving. He has woken up in more ditches, and he looks at us, and this is what he said. He said, I have seen this stuff on television. And then he said, however, I thought it was just another show like Oprah. That's literally what he said. He said, as I was surfing, I would see some church service or some crusade or something, but I thought it was just another show. They're just trying to sell advertisements. They're just trying to do entertainment. He said, however, when I feel what I feel in my Waffle House, and when I see what I just saw with my own eyes, he fell to his knees and he said, preacher, tell me how I can have this same experience, because I am so hungry for an experience with God. We taught David a Bible study, baptized in Jesus. God changed David the cook's life, changed his life. That night at Waffle House, they began to line up to come talk to these crazy preachers. And we were there 2 hours trying to minister to those that were standing in line waiting to talk to us. And one by one, they would come up to us and they would say, either they would say, I go to church. I go to church. But all my times going to church, I have never felt the presence of God like I do in this Waffle House. It's obvious to me, they would say, that I need to find a church that believes what you're speaking and what you're preaching. Or they would tell us. I remember this because Grandma used to go to a church like this. And when I was just a kid visiting Grandma's, they spoke in tongues like this. There was healings like this. I need to find that kind of church. And the last lady, 2 hours she waited, and finally she began to speak to us. And even after 2 hours, tears still flowing, she said, there's no way you could have known this, but I'm a backslidden Pentecostal. And I have been backslidden for 15 years. And for 10 years, I have been trying to get back to where I need to be. I would drive back to where that church is that I used to go to. And somehow I could not bring myself through the hurt to come into the church. Time after time, I tried to go somewhere. I tried to do something. She said, I have been so hungry for God, asking God to help me. I don't know what and how. I'm so hungry. She said, I could not go to church, but God has brought church to me here in Waffle House. And even as she's telling her testimony, before we can even lay hands on her, she's already being refilled with the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues as the Spirit of God. It is amazing what hunger will do. It doesn't matter how feeble your effort or how small you might think or how insignificant we might look to an entire campus of 45,000. It's amazing what hunger will do. One of my favorite stories, and I could tell you stories, as has already been mentioned, with several that have seen so many wonderful miracles. I could tell you of twice we have seen the dead raised in our ministry, and the crippled walk, and literal blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, and thousands of miracles. I can tell you that there is a true Pentecostal movement happening among us. But one of my favorite miracles happened just a few years ago. And I was in a crusade, and there were miracles happening all across the building. And as I'm standing on chairs trying to minister to as many people as I can, there was a father that picked up his daughter and was carrying her. down the middle aisle. She looked, she was very small. She looked 8, 9 years of age, but she was 14. She had a bone disease that was not allowing her skeletal structure to grow anymore. And now that her brain was continuing to grow, her skull was suffocating her brain, causing inabilities to walk and balance. And her heart and lungs were trying to grow, but her ribs were not growing, so it was suffocating her, and body was not being properly oxygenated, and everything about her skeletal structure was killing her, until now it had got so bad that she was in a semi-conscious state most of the time, and what doctors he had been able to go to had sent her home to die. And he stands patiently in line while I'm praying for different people, and miracles are happening. God is doing great things in the place. And I finally realize he's staring at me and catches my eye. And he takes his daughter that is in his arms and lifts her up to me. And I'm standing in these chairs holding her. He begins to tell me the disease that she has, that she is 14. She looks like she's 9. 14 years old, and she is not waking up this whole time, just in this semi-conscious state of dying and not having proper oxygen and heart beating, etc. And I am standing there holding this little girl, not knowing what to say. And so I just breathe the name of Jesus. There's a hunger in me to see her healed. Not so that everybody in the place will see a miracle. Not that I'll have a testimony to speak to people at Penn State campus. I so desperately want to see her healed. Compassion is upon me. Tears are flowing down my face and dripping off my chin and making a pool of wet spot upon her little dress. And I'm breathing the name of Jesus. Don't know what to say, what to pray. And as I'm holding her in Jesus, I feel something in my arms. I can feel that her body has begun to pop and crack and shift. And so faith is beginning to come in me. God is doing something. I can feel it physically. And so I lift up my voice a little bit. Jesus. And now I physically can hear cracking and popping, and they're shifting in her body. I look at her face concerned that she's in pain, and she's still in that semi-conscious state. And so now 2 or 3 or 4 minutes into this miracle, I am now shouting the name of Jesus. I am in the middle of a miracle, and with eyes open, I am watching her grow in my arms. 7, 8 minutes, and finally, miracle is complete as far as I can feel and hear. She's noticeably heavier to me. I look back at the father who is on his knees, tears running down his face as he can hear what's happening. And I go to hand his daughter back to him. And she wakes up for the first time and gently pushes him aside and stands on her own 2 feet. It's amazing what hunger will do. She stands on her own 2 feet beside him. And the two of them start. She's leading them as they are walking around that congregation of 800 people. And 800 people began to say this testimony, that when she made her way around the front, she was standing about elbow high on her dad. But as they made their way to the back, she had already grown to about bicep high. And by the time that she was around one lap to the front, she was standing shoulder high to her father. In a matter of 15 minutes, she had a miracle of wholeness upon her, and she had grown some 8, 9, 10 inches, and she was normal height and normal weight, and God had done them. It is amazing what hunger can do in a service where even many of the preachers were afraid of the power of God that was in the place and stood in the back. A hungry father. Miracle. This place today, your faith is only going to be limited by your hunger today. And if you're not quite satisfied with all the great things that have already happened, and those that have received the Holy Ghost in these altars the last couple of days, the
the gifts and the signs and wonders that have moved across this place. If you are perhaps just one of those that are still hungry, then it's amazing what hunger will do. If you are hungry, would you just stand to your feet? Brother McGee, there is an anointing of healing and miraculous upon you in this place. Don't go to the guitar today. Let compassion be moved upon you so that you can minister in healings and miracles in this place. Anybody hungry? Anybody hungry? If there's some students in the place, that's just your age group, your hyphen age. You are hungry for God to use you, speak to you, to anoint you. And I want you to come stand in this altar area with me. Just line up across this front. If you're student hyphen age and you want God to speak to you, use you, talk to you. Beautiful. Beautiful. If you'll give me a liberty, the Holy Ghost wants to speak some things to you that are words of knowledge. Wants to speak some things that are prophetic so that you can know the supernatural in your life and have faith. There are, across this altar area, some young men that are dealing with an addiction of pornography. And God is going to give you overcoming power before you leave this place. Don't worry, you won't be embarrassed. No one's going to single you out. Across this group of ladies that I see in particular upon this side, there's a battle that the enemy has spoke to many of you that tries to beat you down and tear you down. And it's a battle of self-esteem, that you're not beautiful enough, you're not attractive enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, or whatever the enemy would say to you. God is here with love to assure you that if you just are hungry, He'll use you and make something beautiful out of your life. Would you just let your hunger be expressed a little bit, students? Just. My evangelist friends are in the place. I want you to come stand in front of these. Brother Wilson, would you come? Would you come also, anointed man of God? Just come stand up here. Let the Holy Ghost begin to speak to you as you look at these people. Prepare yourself for God to use you as you look at these young people. Pastor Cluster, Pastor Patterson. Ministry under the authority of pastor also. Prepare yourself for ministry. Anointed pastors that are in the place, anointed ministers. Would you come also? Just stand in front of this congregation of people. That's all right. Just let that hunger out a little bit. Let that hunger out a little bit. Yes, it's already here. I need to do no more.
Ministry, I lose you right now in the Holy Ghost. Let there be gifts and signs and wonders. Let the calling of the Holy Ghost be upon you and use you in healings and in miracles and signs and wonders by the authority of the Word of God. Move among these students and move among this congregation and begin to speak healing. Saints of God, begin to pray one for another. Pray one for another. There's strength there. Pray one for another. There's strength there. Pray one for another. There's strength there. Even in the congregation, pray one for another. The rest of the congregation, if you're hungry, just come join us and begin to let your hunger express. God has miracles. God has healings. God has blessings. God has direction. Come give yourself. Come give yourself to the hunger that is upon your spirit, and let a hunger change something on this campus. Let it change something in this city. Let it change something in your life.